Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, as we have worked our way through the lessons now this morning, and as we've sung a couple of our hymns, we're beginning to notice that phrase that is on the cover of your bulletin. Wise disciples count the cost. And you've also by now discovered that when we're talking about count the cost, we're talking about more than just what we're doing with the things that God gives to us or the money that He provides to us. We're talking about our life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We marvel at the tact of the Apostle Paul as he writes about a runaway slave and encourages the master to receive that slave back, not just as a slave who's decided to come back, but now as a brother in Christ. And Jesus, in our gospel lesson, describes what discipleship is all about. Now, I'm sure you've heard the word discipleship before. It's a word that we often use to describe what you and I do, how we live. Discipleship describes what we do with the things that God gives to us. It describes how we use the talents that we have, the time that He has provided for us. It describes how we interact with each other. And while it is true that discipleship deals with what you and I do, Jesus reminds us that discipleship is much more than just talking about the things that relate to us. Discipleship is all about Jesus. He reminds us of that by telling us these two little stories, these two little illustrations, focusing our attention not so much on me and what I do, but focusing our attention on that Lord. Discipleship is all about Jesus. He's the one who builds us a glorious life, and He's the one who gives a glorious victory. Let's look at that first one. He builds us a glorious life. Listen to that first of His two little illustrations. If anyone comes to me, actually we're at verse 28, for which of you, if he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, everyone who sees it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build, but was not able to finish. If you are going to undertake something massive, like building a tower, that takes a little bit of planning. That takes some forethought. You don't just go out and decide, I'm going to build this tower, and if it's supposed to be a glorious one, if it's supposed to be a grand one, if it's supposed to do what it's supposed to do, then you need to sit down and figure out, can I carry this through? Do I have the resources, not just to get started, but do I have the resources to finish it? You probably have heard stories. Maybe you've even seen. Perhaps you've even got something lying around in your own garage that fits that description. Something that got started, but never really got finished. And if it's a big enough project and it's more noticeable, then you'll also understand that there have been those times when you take a look at a foundation that's laying out there and there is a certain amount of ridicule that goes against that particular builder who got started, but there it lays. He never got it finished. If there's going to be a glorious life, there is a certain amount of sacrifice that has to take place. If you are going to build something like that, you need to be able to sacrifice the resources necessary, the time, the expenses, whatever it is, to get it done. And so Jesus describes for us in a very vivid way the sacrifice that is necessary if there's going to be a glorious life. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's a pretty strong word. Hate. Now, obviously, God does not want you hating mom, dad, son, daughter, husband, wife. We have the fourth commandment that says we're supposed to honor those who are in authority. The rest of the Bible reminds us of the love. But Jesus is in a very, very vivid way describing the first commandment. As much as you love mom and dad, son, daughter, brother, sister, even yourself, Jesus comes first. He has to come first. If mom or dad, son or daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, if anything else comes first before Christ, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus says, because you've broken the first commandment. The first commandment makes it very, very clear. God is the one who is God. Nothing, no one else is God. And so he uses that strong word, hate. Make sure Jesus is first. Because if he's not first, you cannot be his disciple. So no wonder discipleship has to be all about Jesus. As you and I think about that particular sacrifice, that all the things that you and I can see and love and have here in this world have to be set aside in deference to Christ coming first, that is probably a sacrifice that you and I are often unable, and because of the sinful nature inside of us, regularly unwilling to make. In fact, there was a commentator that said this. He said, in light of this, Western modern Christianity is a weak manifestation of what's in it for me, cultural religion. Modern Western Christians have turned biblical faith into a weekly event, a place we park our car for a few hours, instead of a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week relationship of service to Christ. We only give the leftovers of our busy lives and plans to Him. We worship and praise Him with peripherals and non-essentials. Depending upon how much that describes you, determines how much that hurts. Well, we all look at ourselves. We all see our sinful nature. And to one degree or another, we can see that we have relegated God to something that we do periodically. We see that we have relegated our Lord and our Savior to something who deserves what I'm willing to spare rather than a sacrifice. As another person once said, whatever contradicts or prevents discipleship is to be hated, not just disliked or disapproved. If it stands in the way of Jesus, if he stands in the way of Jesus, if she stands in the way of Jesus, not just dislike, not just disapproval, but this is something that is keeping us from Christ, something to be hated. No wonder discipleship has to focus on Jesus. It's all about Him. He's the one who made the sacrifice. All the things that you and I were unwilling to do and the things that we were unable to do, that's why He came. That's why He sacrificed everything. And He stepped into this world and He did all the things that you and I should have done. And so He was absolutely perfect. He kept the first commandment and in so doing kept all the rest of them. His Heavenly Father was always first, even as He put you first. That's why He was willing to live that life, deal with the attacks of Satan, deal with the hatred of the people around Him, and in so doing, He was the perfect disciple, the perfect follower, the perfect substitute. And when He lived that perfect life and credits it to you, He gives us and builds us a glorious life. A glorious life we already have. We still have the possessions. Jesus even said at the very end, if you're not willing to say farewell, those things have to go away if they're going to stand in the way of Christ. But He still gives them to us. They still are there for us to enjoy and to use and to see His blessings. He still surrounds us with the people who are there to encourage us, people that we are able to encourage. He gives us all of those things so that we can use this amazing, glorious life now, living as disciples of our Lord and our Savior, already wrapped in His perfection, already counted perfect because of what He has accomplished in your place. We have this glorious life built now, and of course, we look forward to its complete and full fulfillment when we join Him in heaven. Discipleship is all about Jesus. He builds us a glorious life. So now we take a look at the next illustration. Not only is He the one who builds us a glorious life, but Jesus is the one who gives us a glorious victory. And so He gives us the second illustration. He says, what king, as he goes out to confront another king in war, will not first sit down and consider if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? And if he is not able, he sends out a delegation and asks for terms of peace while his opponent is still far away. Now he gives us the picture of one king going out to war with another. And as you're about to go into battle, once again, there is this idea of let's pause for a moment and let's think this through. If you're going into war, there is a certain amount of suffering that's probably going to be taking place, not on just on the part of the king, but on the men that he's taking with him. And so as he considers, can his 10,000 men handle an army that is twice his size? Is that something that can be done? There may be a certain amount of pride. There may be some arrogance. There may be some misplaced confidence in his people that might lead him into a disaster. Think this through. And if he comes to the conclusion that he can't win this war, then he makes the process of trying to find those terms of peace before the war comes. There is a certain amount of suffering if there's going to be a victory. And so he used that illustration to describe this little phrase, whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. A cross is not just something that's no fun. A cross is not just a bad day every now and then. The cross is what comes because we are disciples of Christ. The cross is something that you and I have to bear because we are following our Lord and our Savior. And as we are doing discipleship, as we are focusing in on Jesus and remembering it's all about Him, then that also sometimes requires me to knock down my own sinful self. And so the cross is anything that I bear, knocking down my own sinful nature in my desire to follow my Lord and my Savior. It isn't always fun. The world is going to find all kinds of crosses to throw at us because of Jesus. And that makes it a war. Fighting those things and fighting those temptations and fighting the old sinful nature that lurks inside of us. No wonder discipleship has to be all about Jesus. He's the one who suffered. He gladly took up His cross, which was actually supposed to have been mine and yours. He gladly took that cross out to Calvary and He gladly died. That's where you and I should have been. This is something that, again, you and I are often unwilling and unable to do. You know what the wages of sin are. It is death. And you know that the only way you can pay that is if you spend an eternity in hell. But Jesus did what I was unwilling and unable to do. He was willing to take that suffering upon Himself. After supplying the glorious life, living perfectly in our place and supplying every ounce of perfection so that you and I can be clothed in the perfection of Christ, He then took that perfection and He suffered and sacrificed and paid for all of our sin. And on that cross He sets you free. And on that cross He pays your debt. And on that cross He guarantees that you've won. And He gives you a victorious life. Because the enemy that you and I faced was more than twice our size. No way we can stand up against Satan. Now, he's not all powerful and he's not everywhere, but he's stronger than I am. The world is constantly enticing, and there's no way that we are able to stand up against all the things that we see and all the things that look so nice and all the things that sound so good. We can't even stand up against our own sinful selves. It's just too natural. The me idea, the selfishness, the things that make me feel good. It's a war I cannot win. But it is a war I have won. Because discipleship is all about Jesus. And He gives us that glorious victory. He defeated sin. He defeated the world. He even defeated my own sinful nature, all of those enemies I could not stand up against. And now I get to follow Him. I get to live for Him. Discipleship is all about Jesus. And now as you begin to think again about what is it in your life that you can do, discipleship does not have to be anything great and well planned out necessarily, or something that's got to be hard and thought through. Discipleship is a little bit more than just the things that you do. It's kind of who you are. You are disciples. You are followers. Because that's what Jesus made you to be. Discipleship is all about Jesus. He gives us the glorious life. He gives us the glorious victory. It's what you are. And now no matter what it is that you do in the week that comes ahead, we get to do it as followers of Christ. We get to do it as ones who have already got this glorious life. We get to live and praise to Him now and we'll live forever in heaven. We get to do it as ones who have been given a glorious victory. No wonder we follow Him. No wonder we love Him. And no wonder it's always all about Jesus. Amen.